Disclaimer, all music streamed on this podcast is protected by Section 108 of the U.S. Copyright Act, which states that copyrighted work reproduced for purposes of criticism and comment are not an infringement of copyright. But with that being said, let's set sail on the virtual ocean. Let me welcome you to the show.
Shelf.
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 In the dark, he comes to me infrequently in breaks your perfect heart. I don't know why I do it, apologize, but it's too late. A single tear and you leave me here and the shadow slips away. Stranger to myself, on these streets I'm someone else. Shadows in the city, like a demon in the dark, come to tear us apart.
Neon City.
Welcome to episode 49 of The Virtual Ocean. I'm your host, Jarrell. I am joined by my producer, Brandon Mattel. That track was Shadows by The Midnight from the album Nocturnal. The Midnight is an LA-based duo consisting of Tyler Lilo and Tim McEwen. This album is going to be a continuation of The Virtual Ocean's synthwave arc, starting with the last episode with Oddling's Infinity. And let's talk about that first track. That was Shadows, and that track leaves an amazing impression on us on what to expect from this album. Like I say with every album, I think that the first track is very crucial to land, to set the tone for what's going to come ahead. And from that first track, from the sax solo to the synths to the writing of the lyrics, you know, which I'm going to pull up in a second. I like the plunge into almost a Blade Runner-esque world, right? I mean, that's an aesthetic that comes up a lot in vaporwave, dystopian cities, a lot of neon lights, but there's something moody and dark and gritty about this, and the colors just really pop out, and the lyrics here are insanely descriptive. The first verse goes, "The city carved a silhouette on the ocean after dark, over the lonely and the holy and the red blood beating hearts." Very, you know, there's probably one of the few times, or maybe the first time on this podcast where we have an album that will have lyrics for every single track. And it will be fun to pull our favorite lyrics from that and kind of break them down, but essentially this track is it's someone's meditation on living in this gritty world, someone who's lost themselves in this this world that we're in. And I think going into this this city from this perspective is going to set a tone of maybe this is kind of a dark album. Maybe this album explores some themes that are about loss and about pain. And wow, I'm really excited. I think that there's something about the structural composition of those beats on that track that felt very modern, but the texture and the patches are, of course, from a different time, from a different era, from the 80s, much to the way that synthwave and vaporwave and all these electronic movements during the 2010s did with their music composition. Brandon, your opinions on that first track?
You hit most of them on the head. Honestly, I want to keep going, but I will say what's very interesting about this so far is the fact that Drell and I usually always have the Bandcamp page opened up for when we listen to these episodes or to these albums, and this track has like a full team behind it, and it's actually very interesting to see such a high production, you know, vaporwave aesthetic. I think the last thing we listened to that actually had lyrical content was Moe Shop. That was a while back. So it's definitely really refreshing. But what I think was really interesting was actually like the saxophone. They actually had a saxophonist on this record writing original parts rather than using a sample or MIDI. So it adds to like that very organic texture for this record for sure.
Right. And I'm looking at the album on Bandcamp and I don't see any tags for Vaporwave on here. So I think the creators of this album consider it not in the vaporwave realm. It is a synthwave record, but it's nice on this podcast to be able to jump to different cousin genres of the vaporwave scene, because at the end of the day, I think they all reflect the same psychological cultural moment that vaporwave captures, which is this sense of nostalgia, this sense of longing for the past, this sense of where are we even going in the future, this lack of aesthetic for a cultural generation in this certain decade, the deconstruction of that. And I think synthwave is part of that. So let's continue with the second track titled Crystalline.
Rush out on an uptown train, doors open, and she walks in, she's soaking, caught in the rain, her skin shines like crystalline. Eyes meet, you know where this goes. Her keys in, they take off their clothes, they're soaking. Caught in a dream, her skin shines like crystalline.
Buried under the floorboards.
dancing from rocks off the cliffs by the sea, the monsters with waiting teeth, their skin shines crystalline.
All right, sailors. Wow, I got a lot to say about that one. I will just say, visually for me, definitely, I feel like our ship as an audience and as a crew, it's like we've come across like a mechanical island just by accident, and we've come in contact and we've walked ashore this island, and this mechanical island is something that's always moving and chasing the moon, and it's like it's always constantly pushing towards like this nighttime scene, and like the visuals of this for me is very, very strong. Lots of neon, lots of like really dirty coastlines, where the sand is just covered up with broken mechanical parts, and that's just the picture that I'm getting from this entire record. I will say for these first two tracks, I am starting to piece together just a little bit of the song structure. It kind of opens you up to like that really awesome, like minute long intro. And then you get those really good vocals. I think Tyler is the one who's singing most of this. Tyler, I think, is one of the one half of the duo, and then Tim is the producer. But you're like welcome to like these really warm vocals, and then it just all of a sudden hits you in the face with like this massive drop with usually like a guitar solo, or in this case a saxophone solo, and it's like it's really, really powerful. And I've said this before, I think song structure does have a place in most genres, and you know, vaporwave being part of that. So seeing like a very structured kind of layout for a song gives you a very clear image of what they're trying to paint. And overall, like the production on this record is just is very, very on par. And I would definitely see this around like the 80s, like being on like one of those top playlists, especially on radio. I feel like it fits that aesthetic, and it's just super high fidelity and really, really crystal clear. I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah, the idea that it is something you'd hear in the 80s is interesting, because it has, like I said in the last track, it has those textures, but I think the context of how they're used is so unlike I've seen, and you know, unlike anything I've seen before. And me and Brandon are not experts in the synthwave genre. This is us exploring it for the first time. So when I say it's nothing I've seen before, it's, you know, from the perspective of like a guy who hasn't really gone into this kind of music before. And it's pretty eye-opening, and it feels like a whole new world that we're like diving into. And I was looking at the lyrics for this song, and it makes this metaphor of monsters and this protagonist, or the writer, and a woman, you know, the allusion to a siren with the lyrics, "Sailors knew sirens would sing from rocks off the cliffs by the sea. The monsters with waiting teeth, their skin shines crystalline." So this parallel between sirens and monsters in the ocean being crystalline, and the idea of meeting this woman and hooking up with her and her skin shining like crystalline is, I think, a very on-the-nose metaphor akin to what you'd find in the 80s, but I think it doesn't come off cheesy. It comes off pretty badass. It comes off pretty fun. And the saxophone, which I think memed itself into something of the 80s and also to the general listener as something sexual, is used here in, I'd say, an appropriate context with the idea of this protagonist meeting up with a woman. And I like that it doesn't come off as cheesy. It doesn't come off as something that's too cringe. It comes off as a bit of a sound from a different era. And I like that. I like the commitment to that aesthetic. I like the refreshing of it. And it's built like such a modern song. It's like its own thing. And let's listen to the third track titled Collateral. We'll be right back. beautiful, beautiful instrumental track titled Collateral. Yeah, like the mood of this album is fun. You know, it's really immersive. It's really dark. And that saxophone is just, it just adds so much to this record. I mean, there's, it just tops it off with nostalgia and a mood. And I don't know, man, it's just hard to really describe into words for me what this record is doing for me right now. Do you have any thoughts on that one, Brandon?
Yeah, I was probably gonna say the fact that the saxophone player just rips so hard, I think, is what really grounds this record, actually. And I think I have this question all the time. I'm like, what would 80s producers and musicians do if they had today's technology? And I feel like this is like a small snippet of like the things that they would try to accomplish with, you know, our ability to warp audio and manipulate audio in a way that we could never do before in the 80s. And I feel like for this record, overall, it's just a really great contained world, and you can really get lost in everything that's happening here, because there's obviously a lot of, you know, modern sounds happening. You have like those arping basses in the bottom, they're very clean, they're very gritty, but then by just layering it on top with these guitar synth solos and this saxophone, you immediately ground it to the earth, and all of a sudden starts feeling organic. Even though technically a lot of these sounds don't actually exist in nature, we're still able to pull like this sense of humanness from the record. And I think that's what's making it really fun so far. And we've never really explored a dark record that is as upbeat and fun and has like these pumping drums. I don't think, at least not in a while on the show. So for me, it's definitely a big taste breaker, and I can't wait to hear more.
Yeah, and let's move on to the next track titled River of Darkness.
Slipped away.
is no answer. We're all just hearts that have to fight.
And that track was called River of Darkness featuring Time Cop 1983. Yeah, big vibes on that one for sure. I was trying my best to find the original quote where that movie came from, or the original quote in which they came from. And I couldn't find it. I actually just kept getting River of Darkness by the Midnight. So if any of you know, or maybe if Jarell knows, we could talk about it a little bit more. But yeah, that track was for sure more of a laid back. I feel like a bit of a reset from a lot of the high intensity that we've been experiencing in the first half of this record. Overall, I think the strongest part for me of this was the drums, the usage of taking it in and out. And it's so strange how like those sounding drums where they're like super crunchy and just kind of in your face and like super compressed. They just have that timestamp to it. They have that sonic characteristic where like, yeah, I'm listening to a song that's influenced very heavily from the 80s. And again, tying in those sax solos are really, really powerful for just grounding this song and just keeping it moving and in a way that feels organic. But yeah, overall, I think for me, the drums was the strongest element of that, even though they were very simple. And I will say this leads me to saying what I do like about this song and kind of the other tracks as well is how the artists are able to make a massive sound out of very few instruments, if that makes sense. And that's something I personally have problems with sometimes when I'm making music. It's very easy to overcook a beat. And so, you know, it just kind of goes to show that you can accomplish a lot with less instruments and just having a very clear vision, which this record does a very good job at.
Yeah, this track is about, the subject matter of the lyrics is very interesting. It's about an affair. It's about a late night affair and how what it's doing is ruining this person's, you know, this person's psyche, and it leaves him alone in a river of darkness. You know, this album is taking on some pretty mature, pretty sad themes of being lost in the adult life and what that feels like, and the association of those feelings and those emotions with synthwave is super interesting because it's fun. It's a good beat. It makes you want to jam. It makes you want to move. And I always am a fan of those juxtapositions of sadness and really tight, high energy beats. And this album so far is doing that great. This track was on the top 20 Billboard dance electronic charts, and was number one on Bandcamp, which is huge that track was that popular in those realms. And what an honor to listen to it on this podcast. And I'm glad that we're able to explore that and enjoy that together. So let's go to the next track titled Nocturnal. That was a classy synthwave beat in the form of Nocturnal. And yeah, you know, I don't really have too much to say about that one. It was some good vibes, some good, you know, something to play in the background, I think. Nothing too much to see right there in front of you. It does run at 7 minutes, a little too long for my taste, in my opinion. But nonetheless, I think it fits the album well. I think it fits the aesthetic well. And that's all I have to say about that one. Do you have anything to say about that one, Brandon? Okay, so let's continue on with the 6-track titled Light Years featuring Nikki Flores.
I fell in love with the feeling, didn't fall in love with you. It was a song I was singing, it wasn't meant for you. I'm sorry that I can't stay, and I'm sorry we let years away. I bite your lip.
Millions behind us.
And that track was Light Years featuring Nikki Flores. Nikki Flores sounds like a very familiar name. I feel like we've heard it.
I actually did look her up, and nothing I could find that was familiar to me that I've listened to. Mm-hmm. Even though it did sound very familiar, I could be wrong. I don't know if I looked hard enough, but I'm looking at the tracks, and I don't think I've personally listened to her, and I don't think we've listened to her on this.
Could possibly be an podcast. Artist. Yeah, could possibly also be an artist rebrand.
She has tons of features.
Yeah,
tons of features.
Yeah. So, I will say this definitely had a special place in my heart, I think, in terms of the record as a whole, because of the intimacy of the, let's face facts, there a lot of these records are vocally kind of like the beat does surround a lot of the vocals that happens here, and then we get our instrumental breaks. So what I really liked about this track in particular was the intimacy that both singers were able to deliver, something that's actually very difficult to teach singers or get them to learn in a way that comes across as natural. And I will say I like the idea how lyrically they played with the idea of like space and distancing between two lovers.
Yeah.
One of it being like an unrequited love that it seems like the man had for the woman. And like, you know, the way they were able to bounce those ideas off of each other. Very, very smart and very well structured. I will say that the production did leave you feeling like you were ready for like some sort of like drop or like big chorus with that saxophone. But it stayed kind of like right at 7 the whole time. And I think that's a very interesting choice. I feel like we already know at this point that the producers can make a very high octane, big punchy drum sounds, and so it was an interesting way to just take it back a few notches and kind of like let you sit in the mood. And I think it was a really good change of pace in terms of the record. I like the low end of just that arping movement, so you didn't lose that sense of feeling between the two singers. So felt very free form, very relaxed, and in my opinion, probably one of my favorite tracks on the record overall.
Yeah, the idea of being light years apart, right? That concept of light years in space and using that as a way to distance is, you know, it's not exactly cliche, but it's within the realm of what you would say is, not in a bad way, cheesy. You know, it's something that it's not exactly a groundbreaking metaphor, but the way it's done here and in the context of the rest of the album is really awesome, because like you said, it stays like this intimate break before the finale of the album. And Nikki Flores' voice is, wow, that beautiful, beautiful voice. She really can carry a track. And I think she added so much to this album by just appearing on this one track. And I recommend you go give her a listen after this episode if you're curious about her. And that's what I will be doing for sure. The next track is the final track of the album, unfortunately, kind of sad to say, but this track is titled Tokyo Night Train. Thank you. And that is the somber finale of our album, Nocturnal by Midnight. The Midnight, sorry. That final track was called Tokyo Night Train, the lightest track of the album, and the most ambient, I guess, you know, really just chilled you back and close out a very, almost like a sunrise, I'd say. You know, it feels like the dawn. It feels like the end of a journey through the emotions of the late night with that track. And yeah, I think this album's great. I think this album is fun. I think the aesthetic of it. I know I keep saying the same things for a lot of these albums, but I enjoy heavily the direction they took and the versatility they have in the writing, the composition, the mood. And I love how poetic the lyrics are for a synthwave album. I think a lot of electronic music like this can benefit from the writing talent that Tyler Lyle has and brings to the table. And I just think it warrants a lot of different listens. I think the emotions in it are really strong. I think the ambiance combined with the emotions makes for a really good album, and I would recommend this to other people. Brandon, your closing thoughts on this album?
You hit a lot of it on the head. I definitely really enjoy the Asian aesthetic of this track, for sure. A lot of the pan flutes, a lot of the wooden kind of like bamboo mallets that we have, and almost kind of like using the pan flutes as like that chugging along, that it was very gentle. It felt like very smooth and just a nice way to end the record, for sure. It almost feels like, you know, it's like we're back on our ship now, you know, and that's like, and the island's kind of just moving away, and we're still just kind of figuring out, and maybe we'll come back to it at some point. But, you know, that's kind of how I'm getting a feeling for these last two tracks. It's a very soft and very somber ending to the whole track. And I think it definitely would probably make one of my top fives again for overall for everything that we've listened to. And, you know, I hope we can revisit a lot of the records stuff. The stuff that they have on here, the imagery that they painted is very strong. Maybe next time we listen to them, it'll be a different team writing a lot of it. But yeah, I would say, again, obviously we have never really listened to like a lyrical album on this podcast before, so it's a very good taste breaker, and I think it kind of shows that, you know, you could potentially apply this to a lot of other to the vaporwave genre in a way that doesn't come across as cheesy, in a way that actually, if given proper context, can make for some really, really strong imagery.
Yeah, and with that said, sailors, we're heading back to our ship. We are getting ready for our next adventure, and we hope you enjoyed Nocturnal by The Midnight. What did you think? Let us know on our Instagram at The Virtual Ocean. Me and Brandon are also on Instagram. Brandon is at Brandon Mattel. I am at Jarell.exe. And, you know, let's continue the conversation there. But in the meantime, thank you for sailing with us, and we will see you in the next episode. Goodbye, everybody.
Raise the davit. Get these folks on board.
How are we looking today, sir?
Skies are clear and the ocean laughs. I think we should go where our hearts take us.